Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, we know a little bit more about the NFL schedule, and we know the first 2 weeks for the Chiefs. Week one, we already knew they're hosting the Baltimore Ravens Thursday night opener, and now we know week two, also at Arrowhead, against Cincinnati. That'll be a Sunday late afternoon game on CBS. So, Nance, Romo, like we've experienced time and time
again.
Pretty
used again. To that by now.
It is fun again. Once
still mad.
With
Romo
the Chiefs.
stomped all over that game-winning call.
Yeah, yes, he did.
That's fine.
Yeah. No, I enjoy the schedule release probably even more because we know the Chiefs, two of the games they've announced have been the Chiefs. Like, if you're you're miserable if you're a Carolina fan anyway, but if you're a Panthers fan, you're like, okay, just get to Wednesday. We don't care about the leaks. Here, I'm excited about because they involve the Chiefs.
I'll be honest. I want the Chiefs social team to be one of the five best this year. Come on. Be one of the five best schedule release teams this year. They're not as biting as, like, the Chargers or some of these other losing teams tend to be, but still, I think we could probably do it that way. Plus, we learned Tom Brady's first game, right? He's going to get the Cowboys-Browns?
Yeah, well, you can play the audio of this, maybe. It's a little bit longer. We'll play it in the 1 o'clock hour. There's upfront week. For those that know what that is, for a lot of the national networks, it's their big week to pitch to the advertisers. Yeah. They explain what their fall lineup's going to be. Obviously, the NFL's a huge part of that.
That's why we heard about the Chiefsaholic documentary.
Yep, for Amazon, they greenlit the Chiefsaholic doc. And so Brady was talking with Strahan and like was talking about how excited he is, and the whole minute spiel he gave about the game and broadcasting, it was just about the Cowboys. Didn't mention it was like, oh yeah, you're excited to have the Cowboys on, and he didn't mention
it's
a
like
word
it'd be
about
weird
the
to
Browns.
Say America's team didn't even yeah.
The whole thing was about the Cowboys.
Fairness. Think about the entire time he was in the league. How often were the Browns relevant the entire time he was in the league? True. Next up on what training, the Royals grew up game one to Seattle last night. Brady Singer went five innings, allowing four earned runs. They'll be back in action tonight. More West Coast baseball. So pregame will start here at 7:30 on 610 Sports Radio. Michael Wacha will be on the mound for the Royals.
Okay. All right. Next up on what's trending, we mentioned this in the last segment, but the University of Green Bay is hiring Doug Gottlieb to be their head coach. The men's basketball program, that according to the Field of 68, and he will continue, this according to Jeff Goodman, his daily national radio show on Fox Sports Radio. So what, they're going to schedule their charter buses around his radio show schedule during the season?
Guess so.
Oh, that won't go poorly at all.
And their practices around his radio
shoot
schedule.
Shoot arounds. Nope, sorry guys. Practice, we got to bump practice today. I got a radio show to do. Got to talk some NFL today. Like, what?
That's so weird. It's so weird. Next up on What's Trending, the WNBA announced their newest expansion franchise, the Golden State. We didn't know what they were going to be called. The Valkyries is what they went with. Purple logos. You see the Golden Gate Bridge. Honestly, you say all the time, which is not inaccurate, most of the time we see new jerseys or new names, we bear it. This one rules.
It's
like,
a cool
I mean,
name.
It's like
it's
the
cool
logo
name.
Work, the name, it all looks and works really, really well.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know what the uniforms will look like, but
I don't know.
They're, recently, so the Seattle Kraken of the NHL did a great job with their color scheme and their logo for the Kraken. There's been, I will say they've gotten better here recently.
I still like to go to the Yeti for the hockey team.
Yeah.
I want them to be the Yeti.
It makes the most sense. What was the other one? Salt Lake.
I don't remember now. There were a few choices, but Yeti stood out as the
Yeti
best.
Yeti was the one we both went. Oh, Venom, right? Venom, something like that. Yeah, Yeti does seem to make a lot of sense. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget the Let's Play Sports Equipment Drive is going on. It's presented by Pinnacle Bank. We're excited to work with them. It all benefits the Urban Youth Academy. And look, they're looking for some help with new or gently used baseball, softball, sports equipment appreciated. Any type of gear like that you've had maybe sitting around in the storage room or whatever, but it's in good shape. Your kids haven't used it in a long time. That kind of stuff would be perfect to help out right here in Kansas City. You can also make a monetary donation. Maybe you just don't have some of that equipment, but you want to help. Go to 610sports.com. Right on the front page, you'll see there's a link not only to donate, but also to find out the drop-off locations, participating Gates Barbecue locations. We said the other day, hey, go get your beef on bun, yep, drop off some sports equipment, and have a perfect day. And we're also going to be live from the Urban Youth Academy on Tuesday, May 21st, accepting some items. We'll have some more details about that day coming up tomorrow.
The graduation time, so like the high school senior, that's an easy time to get rid of some of the equipment. But heading into summer, you know that they're getting ready to get new gear or just purchase, like you said, and make those. We'll be at two different locations next week accepting your donations. We'll be out there the day of MacArthur's 9th Infantry. We'll be out there Tuesday at the Urban Youth Academy, and then Wednesday we'll be back out at the K accepting your donations live on site. We'll have an announcement tomorrow about who might be able to join us on Tuesday at the Urban Youth Academy to try to support this great cause. So it is, if you've got the gently used or brand new sports equipment, there's a lot of people in the Kansas City area who could use it. It's expensive, and you know that, which is why when you bought it, you knew it was expensive. Some people could really use the help.
It all benefits the Urban Youth Academy. Here in about 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Jake Eisenberg, one of the voices of the Royals right here on 610 Sports Radio as the series up in the Pacific Northwest against the Mariners continues. So we'll get Jake's thoughts. Also, I know he has heard multiple songs. He's heard about our MacArthur movement. We'll get Jake's perspective on that. We're expecting him around 12:35 or so. We're also expecting Mitch Holthus to call in here in about 10 minutes or so, not only to talk some Chiefs football in the first two games that are released on the schedule, but he's been working with Wiffle at the Hollow and Battle Within and a great cause. We'll talk to him about that in just a little bit. But first two out of the gate, man. Don't ease into the schedule whatsoever. The Chiefs are going to host the Ravens on that Thursday night, and then the following Sunday, they're going to host Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. And so, yeah, the positive end, 2-0 out of the gate, man, and you already have wins against two teams that might end up being tiebreakers for you for
probably
top
saying
seeding.
0-2 is not crazy because those are two very difficult opponents.
Definitely could be the case. For Cincinnati, you know, they haven't started the season great. Joe Burrow, though, you would think should be healthy and available because it's so early in the season.
Yeah.
And that game not being a primetime game, I think, gives us a little bit of an idea of, all right, so you still have six more primetime games to go later on in the year. That almost assures you, right, that the Bills, unless Fox tries to get that and it's like Bills with Brady and they want to have something like that with Mahomes. But otherwise, I'm trying to keep an eye on the rest of the schedule. And I love the fact that they're actually starting at home, two out of the gate. And with these
technically,
two opponents,
we don't know any of their primetime games yet because that Thursday night one to open doesn't count for their primetime slot. And you would have thought Chiefs Bengals was at least a possibility for a primetime slot. They're not going to do that. Look, honestly, my enjoyment of it kind of depends on whether or not they win or not, for the obvious reasons. I think there's pros and cons to both. The con is obvious. Two of your home games are already burnt, which means the other 90% of the season, you're going to be playing on the road a lot more than you're playing at home, which tends to make things a little bit more difficult for travel and all those other things. So that adds a bit of a challenge to it. But you're getting 10 days rest before you face Cincinnati. You're facing them at the time of year where they generally stink. The biggest downside is that you're facing them possibly, two of your most difficult opponents, when you might be without two of your better players.
Yep.
Charles Aminu for sure won't be available for those first 2 weeks. And if I had to guess right now, Rashee Rice will not be available for those first 2 weeks as well, which puts you in a bit of a precarious situation where for AFC standings, for bye weeks down the road and all those things, these games that do matter, you're playing without your full arsenal. And that becomes a challenge. But getting the extra rest, presumably, on Cincinnati.
Yeah, 10 days.
Yeah, and you, by the way, you're automatically getting the net rest on Cincinnati. There's no other team playing on that Friday or that Thursday. It's just you. Nobody can have more rest than you. That Friday game is, I think, the Packers and Eagles
in Brazil.
So, like,
which that game is just going to be weird anyway because they're playing in a soccer stadium where they don't allow green. Like, it's their rival. And they take it very seriously. And, of course, both the Packers and Eagles have green in their uniform. But
what's their plan for that?
I'm guessing the NFL
soccer hooligans just got to let it go that day.
I'm guessing the NFL is saying, hey, we're giving you a bleep ton of money to play down here.
We're putting on the green.
These two teams are playing there and they're wearing green uniforms, or one's going to wear white with green or whatever. But like, that's the thing that's happening.
I mean, I don't know why you would wear alternate unis in your overseas game. That's when you wear the classics. You know, like you're trying to recruit new fans. You're trying to get people on your side of things. You got to wear classic uniforms if that's the case. But no, I do think that it's a challenge to start the season with those two opponents and then have to go the rest of the way being in a lot of road games. But like you said, if you start 2-0, you feel like an unstoppable force. Start 1-1, you feel fine. 0-2, then you're like, things aren't going quite the way we thought.
But look at the history there. So they're already 4-1 against Lamar Jackson. Mahomes is 4-1 against Lamar Jackson. So you can get to 5-1. Yeah. The last game the Ravens played was against you in the AFC title game. In their building, you beat them. Zay Flowers fumbles at the goal line and all that. Cincinnati, you've gone back and forth with them for a while, but you're still the team that has prevented them from, like, you know, getting to where they want. They got you one time in the AFC title game. I just think there's such a mental edge to, if you start 2-0 against the two teams that might also be competing for one of the top 2-3 seeds in the AFC, and you could already start that way. I love that. You're not just easing in, just get after it. I know there's concern because Rice is probably not available. But man, I just think if you're wondering, kind of going through the motions, like if you want to be ready to go, all the talk that's going to be going into those games, I think that's good. We've seen this group, especially against Cincinnati, when there's some trash talk and any doubt if there's going to be any of that, that's when this team plays their best. And so I don't know if there will be that. They're the defending champs, but it's way more likely that someone will try to convince you about Cincinnati or Baltimore than if they were opening up the season against the Bucs and they're like, okay,
sure.
You know what I mean?
So, I kind of hope now, because of the way the schedule is lining up, it's Bengals, who they face in two AFC title games, Bills, who they face in an AFC, or sorry, Ravens, who they faced in an AFC title game, Bengals, who they faced. Now I want the Bills or the 49ers.
Oh, you just want the first 5 weeks
I want all the teams that they've ruined the seasons of for the first like 4 weeks, you know? Let's just go through an old memory train of, remember when you lost to us in the playoffs? Wasn't that fun?
I mean, week 3 we now know is for sure going to be on the road. I mean, they're opening up with two home games. So week 3 is on the road. The question is that your road divisional game? Is that your road Thursday night game in LA against the Chargers? And so we go from talking about them having 10 days of rest to suddenly they actually have a short week after that. I mean, you can see that happens sometimes with the NFL schedule. We're going to give you the benefit of this extra rest between your first two games, and then we're going to kind of screw you with the short week against a division opponent. I could see something like that playing out. We're going to find out
possible
Tomorrow night around 7:30, of course, when the whole schedule releases. I love the fact that
how much of the schedule we know by then? 4 or 5 games, maybe?
Yeah, probably, because you'll be able to start, you know, cross-checking with other leaks from other teams and like, okay, well, they're clearly not playing this team week 3 because they're already playing this team. So some of that, a process of elimination, basically. But I love the schedule release leak stuff that comes out. I guess these aren't even leaks. These are official announcements from the TV partners.
Somebody asked if Burrow's going to be healthy by week 2.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
That wrist is inflamed.
Apparently, according to the surgeon, or a surgeon, not the one that did the procedure, but he'll be dealing with inflammation on and off all the way through like November. So he's going to be dealing with it as they play.
Take some ibuprofen, man, and be good to go.
That's right. Have one of those injections.
Probably right in the wrist. That sounds painful.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, be honest, like this goes.
Can't
back
wait for Jamar Chase to try to run his mouth again. That's gonna be that's what's fun about that.
Honestly, he's been pretty successful at that for a while. They were winning, and his trash talk was. And we talked about it on the show all the time. You are allowed to talk trash if you're on the winning side of things. That's just the way that this works. You got to say tune in a can when you were cooking the Chiefs' defensive backs on your way to a Super Bowl. But when they beat you in the AFC title game and actually won the Super Bowl, things are a little bit different. You know. Happens to change
the other game that was announced today, the Thursday night week 2 game, Dolphins Bills. So we know week 2 Thursday night
declared
game.
The Bills the losers of the division.
Yeah,
find out early.
I mean, I still look at the schedule in Cincinnati. That one, like from a fan perspective, still gets me, like, because of what we just said with Jamar Chase and the trash talk. That's the one that still kind of gets me fired up more of the group. Like if Ravens, Chiefs, Bills, like the Chiefs have owned the Bills in the playoffs. Cincinnati, yes, Joe Burrow wasn't available last year, but that still is the only team that has actually prevented you from going to a Super Bowl was Cincinnati.
No, I know. That one is still their biggest rival. I don't remember who it was. Drew, you were kind of getting defensive on Twitter, but I don't think it was wrong because somebody was like, one of the biggest rivalries in the sport. And I think it was maybe talking about Chiefs Chargers or Chiefs Broncos or I don't know. It's like some one-sided divisional matchup that meant absolutely nothing was the end of it. Chiefs Bengals is still the best rivalry in the sport, Gold, because of the obvious reasons. They have played in the most important games. They've had the most back and forth, et cetera, et cetera. That's what matters. And if you get into that situation, then you're having a slightly different conversation. So,
joining us now on the 610 hotline is the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. And I, other than just being the voice of the Chiefs, when you're the 2024 Kansan of the year, do you get the schedule early? I'm assuming they give you that ahead of time.
Oh, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. Yeah. So, bits and pieces, yes and no, kind of. But yes, I would be helping produce your show if I gave out that info. But we're getting it bits and pieces at a time. We have 2 weeks, so do you. You've got 2 weeks, and it's interesting.
Just tell us, like, week 12. You know, like, just one, you know, just week 12, Mitch. That's all. Just some random, you know, middle of the season week.
Okay, let me look here. Nope, can't find that one.
What do you make of the two that are publicly known, though? I mean, not wasting any time, Mitch, getting right after it.
Well, honestly, here's my reaction. It is, and I don't want anybody to take this wrong, it's coming across as hubris. This is where the Chiefs are at now in this new realm of popularity and popping a number. Over-the-air television wants to pop a number in any way, any shape they can. So do the streaming places, on and on and on. The Chiefs have become the number one. We want the Chiefs. So think about this. When the partners sit down with the league and NBC gets that first game, to me, it was surprising that they would put, I thought it would be Houston. Houston's, you know, the up-and-coming team. They've had a great offseason, and, wow, that'd be a lot of intrigue. But I think NBC said, no, we want the closest thing to a playoff game that we could possibly put in September on the first week, and that's what they got. CBS then comes in and goes, we don't want to be outdone. We get an exclusive 325 window. NBC is going to take the Ravens and the Chiefs. We want the Chiefs against the Bengals. I think this is everything. I think it's why the schedule was delayed. You know, there's all these complicated algorithms in putting together the NFL schedule. It's become even more complicated with the more partners that they bring in, including, you know, these streaming outlets who are paying gazillions of dollars and they want gazillions of dollars back. So it's become way complicated. But what's not complicated is that the Chiefs, when they play, do anything, pulls a number. And that's the dynamic of getting these two games. Now, it's good they're home and home. I mean, just the opposite. Think of Patrick's first year as a starter in 2018. Our home opener wasn't until week three. But the other side of this is after these first two games, you're going to have six home games over the next 16 weeks. And so it's a lot of drama up front, but I think I laid out why we've got what we've got.
When you look at what the Chiefs, not from a schedule perspective, but just the difficulty of their schedule, maybe I'm crazy here. When I look at the opponents, I think that maybe they're getting off a little easier than last year because at least they get the NFC South, Mitch. And I know that that's, you know, you don't always get one of the divisions that was one of the worst in football last year. But between that and the Chiefs' own division, I don't think it got better than last year.
Let me give you the dynamics. The Chiefs have really had the toughest schedule in the NFL for the past five seasons. Now, let's go back to the 2022 season because my answer is going to give you, I think, some perspective here. 2 years ago, the Chiefs were the first team in NFL history to play their first eight games against teams that had winning seasons the year prior, and they were able to manage that. Coach Reid navigated that like he does everything else. There was the loss to the Colts. Remember the bad call against Chris Jones, but the Chiefs got through that. In fact, they thrived in it. Now, let's go last year. They had the December where, and I put it out on social media only after the Chiefs won because it looked like sour grapes, but for five consecutive weeks, they had teams that had extra time to prepare. Teams had more time to prepare, and the Chiefs had less time. For example, the Packers had nine days to prepare for the Chiefs run a short week. The Bills had 14 days to prepare. The Bengals had 9 days to prepare. In December, that's the key prepositional phrase here, is in December. Tough enough when it's any of the other months, but in December, when you're surviving, basically, and to have that kind of schedule disadvantage, the Chiefs were able to navigate it. They went 2-3, but they still were able to clinch the division and move on. Now, I give you those two answers, or part of the answer, to lead into this one. Now, the whole rest of the AFC West gets the NFC South. So I don't know if you can call that an advantage or not. It's comparing it against the other contenders in the AFC because you race for that one bye.
We're talking to the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holt, this year on Cody and Gold. Before we get your thoughts on, obviously, the great work that you've done the last few years with Whiffle at the Hollow and Battle Within, do you agree that Trey Smith, according to Pro Football Focus, is the most underrated player on this Chiefs team?
It'd be hard to – there's a bunch of them, you know. Honestly, there's so many underrated guys. Leo Chenal is going to enter this discussion. Look at the postseason he had last year. You go back and watch the videos of those playoff games, you're like, oh, my gosh, he looks like Brian Urlacher. And there's just a whole bunch of guys on here, but Trey Smith's right up there. Now, he's a fabulous human. He's a Pro Bowl / All-Pro caliber player taken in the sixth round. I would say probably the highest value player of anybody on the Chiefs roster. Pacheco, being a seventh rounder, might be in that same discussion. But Trey Smith is certainly in the discussion, if not the most underrated or valued player from where he was selected in the draft and what he's become. He's phenomenal as a person and as a player. If you're around Trey Smith for anything longer than 5 minutes, you realize you're in the presence of someone really, really special.
We're speaking to the Chiefs play-by-play man. Mitch Holt is here. Mitch, it stinks that the event was canceled today. You and I have both been at Whiffle at the Hollow a number of years in a row and all the great things they do. For the people who don't know, tell people, even though they couldn't do the event today, why supporting the Battle Within is important.
Weren't you on my team last year?
I was. We won.
We won. It was an incredible victory. It's one of the highlights of my life.
Came from behind. I made the final out. Felt good.
Mitch Wheeler said, yeah, we came from behind. Was that the big inning we had late?
Yeah, big inning late.
7-run seventh or something. They told me you were Bobby Witt Jr., and I thought, okay. Yeah, sure. But no, it's I feel like when I was a little kid, a very little kid, I got the first year of the Royals. I was taking him. I got an expansion team, right? And I was just a little kid loving baseball. And I lived 4 hours away, right, in Smith Center. We're on the farm. We'd come to Kansas City once a summer, and it was the greatest time of my life. And rained out. Oh. And I bawled. I just rained out. I stood outside of the stadium going, I think we could still get this one in. You know, I'm like in third grade. I think we can get it in. My dad's going, no, rained out. I go, Dad, can we stay tomorrow? Because we always went back on Sunday. He goes, no, we'll stay. So it was that same rained out, like game rained out feeling. But we push on. And, the Battle Within is such a amazing organization. It literally saves lives. And so a Cliff Notes version of what they do is they work with first responders and the military, with folks who are been challenged with seeing some of the worst things they can possibly see. You know, we think about the military, but we don't always think about first responders and what they have to be called to on a nightly basis and what they have to see, and many times being the first on the scene of something that's just bad or evil. And so the Battle Within is a intervention. It's a program, guys, that they have literally saved lives. It's an amazing organization that does terrific work. And so anytime we have a wiffle ball tournament or do something for the Battle Within, it is worth people's attention to realize what they do.
Go to thebattlewithin.org. That's thebattlewithin.org if you want some more information and obviously to donate. Mitch, appreciate you calling in. We'll get some wiffle ball in at another date. I know that. And the text line thinks you basically told us week 12 is the bye week, so we appreciate that.
Well, tell the text line it's the same deal. We will trace those numbers. And but we'll have it all soon. And then shameless plug real quick. I know you got to get going, but Matt McMullen, who I know is a guest for you guys.
Sure.
We'll have it all laid out like right after it's released on Thursday, and then we're going to go come right to we'll go with a program where we'll lay it all out and look at it related to the rest of our opponents. That's where you have to look at the Chiefs schedule, but then you have to look at everybody else's and put it in perspective, much like last year when you're going, oh my gosh, the Chiefs had the biggest challenge here really of any team in 40 years in December, and yet they win a Super Bowl.
We're ready for it. There you go. Voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. Appreciate it.
See you, boys.
There you go. Good stuff from Mitch. Obviously very important when you mention the Battle Within. TheBattleWithin.org. That's the great charity that the Wiffle at the Hollow benefits. We've been able to participate in that the last couple of years, and just unfortunately the weather did not cooperate, but it's very important to mention The Battle Within. Coming up next, we'll transition over to baseball a little bit up in the Pacific Northwest with one of the voices of the Royals, Jake Eisenberg, talk about Brady Singer last night. And I know Jake has some thoughts on past songs that have led to good performances. Maybe he'll be on board with Nelson Velasquez. That's next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to the random question of the day. We're also in the 1 o'clock hour today, expected to have Chiefs rookie left tackle Kingsley Suamataia join us as they're back in town. The rookies are. So we're not quite sure on the exact time, but hopefully between 120, 140 or so, we're expecting to have Kingsley call in. Also, the drive this afternoon, expected to have Xavier Worthy on the show. So that's still to come. Right now, though, we're excited to talk some Royals baseball. They're still out in the Pacific Northwest before they get back to Kansas City this weekend to open up a series against the A's. So it's good to have Jake Eisenberg, one of the voices of the Royals you hear right here on 610 Sports Radio. Join us. I hope Seattle's treating you well, man. I hope so far the trip's been good.
Yeah, trip's been great. Good morning from the Pacific Northwest. It's a little after 10:30 here, so you know, getting ready for tonight's game and starting to walk around a little bit and explore. It's a little bit chilly, a bit of a different climate than we had in Anaheim this past weekend, but it's been a good road trip all in all.
Do you what time do you get up in the hotel? Like, what's the wake up time here for players and you?
Oh, I can't speak for the players. I can tell you that my alarm goes off at about 8:30 every day, and I'm usually up around 9:15, depending on, you know, how late the game went the night before.
I think that's fair.
That doesn't seem bad. That actually seems like, yeah, that's rising pretty early still.
Before we get to the on-the-field stuff, I know you have made some comments on Twitter before about some of the entertainment and the songs that we have had on this show. I hear
you. Oh,
your,
God.
So I
don't have a song for you today. Sorry,
don't,
Jake.
Yeah, don't worry. There's not a new song. This might stun you, Jake, but I requested Cody to make a song, which is definitely not normally what happens. I said it has to happen this week, though, and it needs to be about Nelson Velasquez. I said it has to be this week. I said I'm sick of him doing songs of guys that we know are just more maybe firm in the lineup. I think this is the time for Velasquez to do a song. Do you have a recommendation on what kind of music should be used?
Well, First and foremost, I will say, Cody, your lyrical talents, they know no match. if you would like to take that as a compliment, you may.
I think so.
If you'd like to take that in the opposite direction, I leave it open for interpretation to all who may be listening. As far as Nelson Velasquez goes, I mean, he entered yesterday with a 3-game hitting streak. So I'm saying that, like, the song might kind of just be riding Nelly's coattails right now because he seems to be turning it around a little bit. I don't know if that's a habit that you want to get into. And look, like I've said, you know, on Twitter and like I've said before, credit where it's due. Like, these songs have, you know, coincided with the starts of some of these guys starting to find a little bit more consistency. So who am I to say to stop doing it? Who am I to say that, you know, these things shouldn't be happening? So, yeah, I say pick your target, pick your player, write a song, and we'll hold on for dear life.
Yesterday, no, that's fine. I'm accepting of that. And he requested the song, so I think I'm okay on the Nelson Velasquez has a couple of hits in a row here. Maybe now he can hit a dinger if I get the song together.
You know what? There you go. I think this song can specifically be to get Nelly back on the power train because it's been a little over a month since he hit a homer. And we saw what he did at Kauffman Stadium last year, 14 homers down the stretch of the season. So it's been a little bit of a power outage. So I think whatever song you write for Nelly, whatever kind of lyrics you choose, I think there's got to be some home run voodoo in there, some home run mojo.
Absolutely can do. Working on it now. So I'll get you a preview of that later in the week as we get there, Jake. When you look at the team, I had said yesterday that I'm officially in the camp where I'm going to be disappointed if they don't make the postseason now. I've looked at the Royals' record through 42 games of the year. I could look through 43 after the loss last night. But typically when they start a season this well, they win 90 games and they go to the postseason. So now I think it's time to put the kind of expectations on a team where before it was like, ooh, I just like that they're winning and that's nice and they're better than I thought, to no, this team is talented enough that I should expect them to make the postseason.
I'm going to give you a diplomatic answer here because I think both of the things that I'm about to say are true. The previous six times that the Royals had as good of a start as they had this year, they won at least 83 games. In three of those instances, they won the division. Two of those, they went to the World Series. One of them, of course, they won the World Series. That was in 2015. A handful of those instances were in the 70s and 80s, so much different game than the one that Sure. we're seeing now. That was a completely different division, and the fact that it was the American League West. The designated hitter was not ubiquitous. There was, you know, a completely different era of baseball. So it's kind of like comparing apples to oranges there. That said, the Royals have played really, really well. And I think we have passed the threshold of, oh, this is a great start, to this is a good team. I think that we can officially pretty confidently say this Royals team is good, full stop. What does that mean when it comes to expectations? Well, I still think that entering this season, this is a Royals team that wanted to show that they could compete and maybe even contend. Because last year we saw 56 and 106, and going back to competing means probably being around 500, which would be a 25-win improvement over last season. And I want to say that again. That would be a 25-win improvement. That is massive. That is a huge, huge step forward. And I'm not saying necessarily that's where the bar should be. I'm just trying to put it in a little bit of perspective that, yes, while we all want to see postseason baseball in Kansas City, and that includes me, and I think the Royals have a terrific chance to make that a reality, especially given the division that they play in, I'm saying that for whatever reason down the stretch, if that's not the end result, I don't want people in Kansas City to look at this season as falling short of something that could have been. I would really like people to appreciate whatever the end result of this season is, to appreciate what is and what step forward has been taken. And I hope the step forward that is taken is the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. But I also want to make sure that we keep in perspective where this team was last year, where this team is now, and where we hope that they're going. Does that make sense? Was that a little bit too, you know, politically or democratically correct?
No, I think I understand the idea to be like, hey, if they finish 86 wins.
I know I'm talking to you guys. I know it's not really hot takey, but that's kind of the way I feel about it right now.
It's hard to say. Gold made that point yesterday, which is if they get to 86 wins, are you really going to miss the playoffs? Are you really going to sit here and tell me that a 30-win improvement is
right.
not a successful
that's
season?
That's yeah. what I'm saying. And yeah. I said this to a couple of people when we were, you know, just kicking around, you know, our projections and, you know, guesses for what's going to happen this year. No one really knows. But I said, you know, I think with the Central, I think 87 wins takes the division. Now, that was before four of the five teams were above 500 this deep into the season. I don't think anybody saw that coming. So maybe it's not 87 wins, but you know, I think that this Royals team has a chance to do some really special things. And I think we're seeing the start of it. I think that's the main takeaway that I have right now is this team has gone from having, oh, this is a great start to no, this team is good.
I'm with you. We're talking to the Royals announcer, Jake Eisenberg. Of course, you hear him here on 610 Sports Radio. You've been around the game for a while. I know still the last couple of years with the Royals at the big league level, but you've been following baseball your entire life. And when you see what Bobby Witt Jr. has done in the national conversation, I still think needs to catch up, if that makes sense, to what he's doing and to what the Royals are doing. But with that said, I mean, he's right there in the AL MVP race. When you look at what he's doing and you see some of the other names, is it just, hey, the Royals got to keep on winning so the national narrative can catch up? Because I don't know what else you got to be asking him to do. Maybe you want a few home run numbers to go up. Other than that, it seems like he's done everything they've asked for.
No, he has checked every single box and then some. He is exactly the superstar that the Royals were hoping that they drafted back in 2019 and hoping they developed when he debuted in 2022. And we saw him, you know, ascend to superstardom, I think, in June and July of last year. And I think you can really go back to that walk-off grand slam against the Twins. That was kind of a moment where he announced his presence in the baseball world. And yes, it was one specific swing in one specific game. But I think since then, there's been a star aura around Bobby Witt Jr. that the national baseball world, I think, has always seen and noticed. But again, I think he's kind of similar to the Royals. I think from the national perspective, I think Bobby Witt Jr. has gone from, oh man, this is a really good young player who's just starting his career, to no, he's not just a good young player. He's a great player, period, and one of the best in all of baseball.
When you look at what the Royals are going to do over the next couple of weeks, as we keep trying to maintain through the rest of the month, the pitching staff has obviously been a large portion of the conversation because it's the biggest difference from last year to this year. How much credit do you think Brian Sweeney should get for the collective staff, not working with someone individually, but what he's been able to do to put this staff together?
I think he deserves a tremendous amount of credit because I think a lot of it starts with a pitching philosophy of, you know, the Royals are so vastly improved in throwing first pitch strikes and lowering the walk rate. And while that doesn't always show up within the actual game, you look at the overall numbers and those pitching philosophies have really taken hold. And I think a lot of the pitchers that have now been here over the last couple of years have started to integrate that into the things that they do. And I think some of that also involves bringing in guys like Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, who don't walk a lot of batters and have shown other pitchers on this staff how to be successful without necessarily, you know, nibbling at the corners or doing this and that. I think when it comes to Brian Sweeney and Zach Vogue and Mitch Setter, the entire pitching development staff, the pitching coaching staff, I should say, and then you throw in R&D and you throw in J.J. Piccolo in the front office. And I was talking about this to some of the Mariners broadcasters yesterday. I think you can point to three pretty specific pitcher-related trades that have been made over the last couple of years that kind of indicate some of the success the Royals have had. I mean, the Royals signed Aroldis Chapman. The pitching staff helped turn him back into what we knew Aroldis Chapman to be. The front office then traded him for Cole Ragans, who arrived in Kansas City, went to AAA, learned a slider, became one of the best pitchers in baseball, was your opening day starter this year. Also last year, J.J. Piccolo and the research and development team and everybody else that's involved identified James MacArthur as someone that they could work with and potentially turn into what he has become, a high leverage reliever. Annie Rogers wrote a great piece about the process behind that trade and all the stuff since on MLB.com. And then you look at this past spring training and identifying John Schreiber as a guy who's got a solid track record with the Red Sox and going out and acquiring a guy. And there you go. There's your opening day starter. And at least over the last month or so, your highest leverage relievers in John Schreiber and James MacArthur, all acquired within the last, calendar year, more or less, and all developed by this pitching staff, this pitching coaching staff, and this front office. I think that's a huge testament to the entire process that the Royals organization has kind of formed over the last couple of years.
Hey, actually, could you do something for me in the clubhouse today? Can you tell me James MacArthur's hat size?
James MacArthur's hat size.
We need the hat size. He's 6'7", so I don't know, man. I could guess, but like just a general, you know, a general hat size would be fine.
Oh, I see. I see where you're going with this. You want to know, generally speaking, what James MacArthur's hat size is. Well, it's definitely smaller than those hats they have outside Angel Stadium. Those giant hats. Those hats are 649 3/4 inches. They literally have a size on them.
Oh, really?
I'll ask James today, and I'll render a salute as I do it. How's that?
We appreciate that, because I don't know if you know, next Tuesday night, a week from tonight, we've got MacArthur's Knife Infantry happening in the bullpen area, where we've got some shirts, we've got some hats, but he needs a special hat. We're all in. We need some support from you on the broadcast, potentially. If all goes well and he actually gets in for a save opportunity next Tuesday night, then look towards right field. You'll see us all standing up and saluting the general.
Oh, I can't. Are they going to let you bring a drummer boy who's going to be part of that?
Okay, so we've put out a call to action. We would like that or a flautist to play walk in.
Look, I don't know how much you're going to hear a flute at a ballpark. I think the drums are better option.
Fair enough. We'll have t-shirts. We'll have the hat. We'll be visually, people will see us. I don't know if they'll hear us as much, but we're ready for it, man. And we appreciate the time. Enjoy a little bit of time before you got to head to the ballpark tonight.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to getting some great coffee up here in Seattle.
You're going to Starbucks. Nice broadcast. Okay.
Yes, you know it's a great local spot. Everybody knows when you come to Seattle, you want to try the traditional Seattle roast. Kind of like when you go to New York and you want to borrow the New York slice. Yeah. The same thing here with Starbucks.
Perfect. All right, there you go. That's Jake Eisenberg joining us here on Cody and Gold. You'll hear him tonight on 610 Sports Radio. One of the voices. One of the very talented young voices in all of Major League Baseball right now, and we're lucky to have him in Kansas City. And sounds like he might get us the answer on the hat size for James MacArthur, because we need that. Yeah, we need that for next.
It would
Tuesday.
Be helpful. I was looking online. We already have our hats for the infantry. Mm-hmm. We have more infantry style hats, a little more simple, plain. We're there for MacArthur. He's the general. I have found what I believe to be the appropriate hat for him.
We spent some time researching this morning.
I would like him to have that hat versus the hats we have, but as you can imagine, they come in different sizes. And so I need to know his hat size in order to order the appropriate one. I need to know relatively soon. Amazon, look, makes things a little bit easier. You can get stuff a little quicker.
Yep,
that way. But, you know, I need to know his hat size in order to accomplish it.
Next Tuesday night, MacArthur's 9th Infantry will be ready to roll. T-shirts, hats, we got them. You can buy your tickets. Section 151, 150, 152. Those are all right above the Royals bullpen. And, again, Dollar Dog Night going on, so even more reason to make it out there. The troops will be fed, okay? We have plenty of rations for everybody, all
and
right?
And if you happen to play the drums, please, come join us. We're going to let you know tomorrow where we'll be tailgating from so you can pick up your shirt and your hat before you head into the stadium. But yeah, if you happen to play drums and you want to play us into the stadium all wearing the same shirt and hat, that's just a dream scenario.
You just got to give us one of those room.
That's right.
Vroom.
That's right.
Room, room, room.
Someone gave me the name of someone on the text line yesterday. I forget it now. Said they're part of the Chiefs Rumble. Can we just get the Chiefs Rumble? Yeah. If I got a whole second set of shirts just for the Chiefs Rumble, can we play ourselves in?
It's worth a shot. We'll have some more details tomorrow, too. We're excited about something for next Tuesday.
Yes.
On top of that.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Over on the text line, 913-586-7610. Of course, you follow us on the Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook channels as well. Twitch at 610SportsKC. Same on the other channels as well. If you'd like to interact with the show there. Someone tuned in for the first time like, dude, it's way different listening to this show when I can see your faces.
It's startling for some people, I think
sometimes you get like an image of what's going on or, what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Pretty much, I think I look like how I sound at this point, but that's also because I've been in this body my whole life.
My dad originally thought that Gold, you were Cody, and Cody, you were Gold.
He saw the photos and thought our voices should be the other way around.
Interesting. Yes. We've gotten that on the text line sometimes. I'll say something and they'll be like, why did Cody say, I'm like, no, that's what Alex said, or vice versa. That'll happen occasionally. But if you watch a video, it clears it all up.
Yes,
it does.
I am Cody on the video.
Yes.
That is Cody.
I would be myself, Alex.
Yeah. And then
Gold.
When we have the third camera up, that's Drew.
Mm-hmm.
You figured it out. All right, the question I have for you today is related to something that's going on the last week in a major metropolitan city in this country. Do you think this portal between New York and Dublin is a good idea?
Yes.
Come on, let's just get to it. It got shut down today for the second time in like 3 days. So a couple days ago, it got shut down because someone showed
live stream portal. Okay.
Yeah, it's a live stream portal between Dublin and New York City. It's just sitting in the middle of the cities. You can go up there and you can interact with people. between the two cities. Now, Dublin is a much, much smaller city than New York City. So because it's like an island and it's kind of a smaller city, it's on an island and it's kind of a smaller city, I think maybe just less people, more likely to get in some trouble. So a couple of days ago, it got shut down because somebody flashed some images of like a tragic moment in New York. Today it got shut down because a girl in New York flashed her boobs for what seemed like a very long time to the people of Dublin. So the question I have for you, is this a good idea? Should they continue with the portal or just shut it down?
Yes, continue with the portal. I think this is kind of different and unique.
Would you like if we had one in Kansas City?
For what? For what country?
Just somewhere overseas.
Depends on the country, honestly.
Just somewhere overseas.
I think it would
not
be perfect.
Not a different city
for,
in this country, a different city overseas.
What city did the Chiefs just play in? Was it Frankfurt?
Yeah.
So
like
Munich or Frankfurt or London.
If you told me in downtown KC there was just this giant portal looking thing and it's a screen and video and then like,
I think that's cool.
I've seen people try to exchange numbers on there to get a date. I've seen lots of different actions that take place. But overall, like, is it going to turn ugly too fast?
What do you mean?
Well, like for the occasional times that somebody does something, it's got to get shut down.
Well, look,
Should it down? They're just boobs. Should we really be shutting it down for that?
Look, hang on.
They had to know that eventually somebody was going to flash themselves on the screen.
It was a New Yorker to Dublin?
It's New York to Dublin. Both.
Look, there could be a survey taken. How many of the Irish people were like, this is a bad idea. I don't like this. I think that might have been actually appreciated by the Irish, the people in Dublin.
Well, that depends, but so like, you can't assume they someone's going to appreciate
the,
you. You know,
they appreciated the flash, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like the Irish people in the portal.
Someone got escorted
away
by police. She was grinding against the portal.
Look, I'm just saying.
Some
could argue.
I just got to be honest, dude. It's just so many ways it could be wrong. Like, I mean, the second some guy pulls his pants down, I mean, this whole thing's got to get shut down.
Yeah, I agree.
That's not unique to the portal. That's just public indecent exposure or whatever.
I know, you're opening yourself up to, what if I showed a body part to all of Dublin, right? That's what you're thinking. You're just trying to, I think it's opening up a different possibility that's encouraging the bad behavior. Does that make sense?
Correct.
All I'll say is there are far worse things people can do than have fun with this little portal thing and someone flashes their boobs.
Yes.
You know?
Well, sure.
Yes. There's far worse things that people could be doing.
Yeah. Honestly, the one a couple days ago was worse.
Which one was that on?
The person in Dublin who like showed a still shot.
That one was way worse.
Correct.
Yeah, that's bad.
Way worse.
That's bad.
Trying to start a war over here.
That's not good.
Like, that's the problem is that, and I guess that's it. Do you just accept, like, normally in life, 10% of your life is around people who are behaving poorly. Do I just accept that there's a certain amount of poor behavior in any society? So keep up the portal. I guess the question I have now, the follow-up is, which city do you want for our Kansas City portal?
Well, people have already mentioned an obvious one, a sister city, Seville, Spain.
Mm. Okay.
So that's one. Someone says it sounds like Drew's looking for a portal to Twin Peaks for some scenic views.
Hey, you know what? No.
A portal at the Bikini Bash with another Bikini Bash.
Imagine if 610, just 610, just the two of us.
The ring light is actually the portal that we have in studio.
With one other sad radio station?
we have a portal with our counterparts in Cincinnati or whatever. They're all sad and depressed. And then we're here celebrating. That seems like a nice portal to have.
Like you said, Sevilla, and then what they mentioned, Rio. Anyone else? What other suggestions you got? Someone on the Cash Game on Twitch mentioned Sydney.
Australia.
I mean, I think you've got to do a foreign country. That's way more interesting.
I wonder, I don't know how much, I guess, what time is it in Australia right now?
Well, it's fine. It's 24/7, so you just would, you know.
It just depends on what time. New York, city doesn't sleep. You could be in 3 a.m, doesn't matter what time it is, right? It makes sense.
So it says, don't you guys encourage poor impressions of the United States of America across the globe?
There are a lot of those.
People have already made up their minds at this point.
I also think there should be a way to talk through the portal. I would like the ability.
That would be wild. It's too many people, though.
Wait, you're
just getting a line or something? Sign up for a time?
So you just, the portal is you just showing up and just like waving to somebody is what it
is. Yeah. That's what I said. Some people were like
I thought that there was,
thought they walked through it.
No.
And we're in Dublin.
No.
let's get one of those here.
That would be awesome. No, I thought that we already had the technological ability to communicate in ways other than just
you wouldn't be able to hear. I mean, it's in this big open space and you have 100 people, 1,000 people talk. You wouldn't be able to it'd just be a bunch of people screaming.
And waving, and it's just to look into a different
Know. I thought we had already gotten past that point where we could have some actual communication other than that. I think that would be great if you could actually talk to somebody.
I think it's a creative idea.
I think
whoever
cool.
came up with deciding to put one of these screens in the middle.
Text line's just killing me right now.
Well, yeah.
I'm more than...
Someone says maybe she was trying to connect with
us. Go ahead and just play it.
She was trying to get some of that free health care over there and thought maybe they could.
You didn't think this idea is fantastic or?
Fantastic.
You didn't think it was as fantastic.
This
as
idea,
the
I think, is fantastic.
Different idea.
And no, I.
And all bikinis all day. Fantastic.
Poor Drew.
23rd.
I used a poor choice of words yesterday, or a poor word choice yesterday.
I know. I called you out immediately. I said that was not smart. I said, what does your wife think about this? And somebody brought up your marriage, and you said you were satisfied. I said, you might want to use a different word than just satisfied.
Thrilled.
Elated. Yes.
Yeah. Over the
That's
moon.
What I am.
Have you still not shown your wife the video?
Honest to God, even happy would have worked.
No, she hasn't asked to see the video. I haven't shown her the video. It's not even a problem. It's just that she knows that I was there, and it doesn't matter.
Oh, well, you were there for work. That one, you're safe.
I was there chilling.
You were there for work.
100%. If I said, hey, I'm going to the bikini bash, that's a problem.
But maybe you're getting paid to be there for work. Maybe they ask you to judge it. You know, back in the day, Bink judged a Hooters swimsuit contest on behalf of this station. He had to be there. I mean, what is he supposed to say? No, he had to be there, Drew. That could be you. You might have to be there.
Got
to
keep the clients happy.
That's the.
I will say I do appreciate the amount of. I do appreciate being paid to be there. That was great.
I mean, who doesn't like that?
Believe me, I need the money.
You just moved.
All right, coming up next, though, let's talk a little about where the quarterback market is headed in the NFL after another QB got paid.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.